Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Bonus content. Bonus content. Hey, listen, Food Court will be coming back with new episodes this spring, but until then, here is some fun bonus content to tide you over. In this bonus content on the Food Court with Richard Blaze, you don't want to miss it. We're talking about things that annoy us. It's a long list. Let's hear from Julie and Amy from the heated cilantro debate.
Richard, what is your biggest pet peeve as a restaurateur with customers at your restaurants?
Wow. Let's see. A pet peeve of customers, because I probably have very, very many of them. I know I have very many of them. I think it's pictures and like pictures of the food that they're eating. Like everyone is so obsessed with social media that it's great and we want them to take pictures because they're basically providing ads for us. But not everyone's a great photographer. And the lighting in most restaurants is not so great. So like that's sort of a pet peeve for me. I want you to take pictures, but I want you to show up at 5 p.m. and shoot it outside in the hallway between 5 and 6 p.m. during magic hour.
Right.
I think that's my issue with social media and food.
Right. Flash photography on food usually looks
terrible.
Really, really
That's
bad.
What it is. And it's like I know what the food also like looks like when it was made, and it's just it just does not look so good at 9 p.m. in a dark dining room.
Yeah. I get that. How do you feel about people asking for substitutions?
Okay, so this is where, again, I think the old school chef, some of the people we've had on Food Court are like, no substitutions. Yeah. I am the chef. My way or you can leave. No silver dollar pancakes for you. This is how I do it. I'm in the hospitality business, and at the end of the day, all we want to do is make people happy. So if we have the ability to make the substitution, then we will. So like, you know, sometimes people will be like, well, I want a side of broccoli with the salmon. And if we don't have broccoli in the building, that's not something that we can do. But I have no problem with it, especially because I'm on a lot of weird nutrition things myself. And I am that person in restaurants who usually wants to swap out a vegetable for this or a starch for that or something like that. So if it makes the guest happy, we're all about it. Okay. Catherine and Josh took on bagels. And jump into this discussion.
Yeah.
What is one social media trend or thing you see a lot that you're over and you just can't stand it in the food world? Who wants to take a shot at?
Okay, I'll take a shot. Yeah. It's like a very non-consequential one, but this is so stupid. The way that burritos are styled in pictures are not the way that burritos will ever come in real life. People take a burrito. You're talking about a sandwich. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like the only way to shoot a sandwich that has an open face or a bagel, you cut it in the middle, you split it open, you splay it to the camera.
Yeah.
You just pull it apart and splay it. And people are pulling apart these burritos and splaying them, and then they are food styling on Instagram photos, putting whole shrimp in there, like squirreling sauces on the outside of it. And to me, every time I see one, I'm just like, That's not indicative of what an actual burrito is or looks like, man. Let burritos be burritos sometimes.
I like that. Or at least, like, if you're just going to do it, then shoot it there. Don't start inserting stuff into it.
There's other troubling things, like kids are eating Tide Pods or whatever. But no, for me, it's the burrito thing.
Yeah. I did a segment once, and it was for Tide. There you
okay.
go.
Okay. Wow.
Sorry, so it was a Tide, like, integration in a segment on a morning show. And, like, but they were, like, very, very serious about, hey, no jokes about eating these Tide Pods.
Oh.
To me, they look like delicious molecular gastronomy raviolis.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. I was going to say, are they sponsoring this or can we talk about how good they look?
Right. Like, it's like, but they kind of look delicious. This
little
is...
blueberry fluid gel in there. Like, come on, that's great.
Oh, fluid gel.
Interesting.
Is fluid gel one, as a writer, is that when you see a modernist chef with one of these terms on the menu, is it like fluid gel?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're okay with it?
No.
Oh, I was going to say.
It's deeply annoying. There's a lot of things that chefs do that are deeply annoying.
Yes.
Actually.
Oh, this is what I want to hear. What are a couple of things that chefs do that are deeply annoying?
Okay.
Remember, I'm at least 49% chef at this moment.
Yeah. I would say something that chefs allow to happen that annoys me the most, like have to leave the room annoys me, is they allow people to call them chef. Mm. People who do not work for them. When, say, a food blogger, a food Instagram influencer is like, chef, I loved what you cooked for us tonight. I'm going to throw up.
Right.
Chef means boss, essentially. This person is not your boss. You're using this term to indicate some intimacy that is not there. You guys are in a symbiotic relationship, not a personal one.
Right.
Let's not pretend otherwise.
Mm.
It makes me physically ill.
Okay. I like that. That's not that I do that. So that's good. And it's always weird when you're receiving that.
I was going to say, how do you feel about
that? No, I feel the same way. Then it's always like, oh, you know, just call me Richard or Blaze or whatever it is, you know, or that guy with the weird hair or anything, really.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I like that. That's why I'm a big no chef coat guy. Thoughts? Like too casual? Should chefs be wearing white starchy jackets again?
Oh, so when you're working in a kitchen, you don't
wear
them?
Apron, yes.
Okay.
But, you know, just something about the chef coat to me that is just, I don't know, there's a pretense to it. Nothing against the people that wear them.
Mm.
But it just, I don't know.
I feel like if you're not comfortable wearing it, you want your chefs to be as comfortable as possible while they're making your food, right? Like,
right.
Be like in a good headspace about it.
This is true. Comfort is really where it comes from, to be honest.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're leading a team, it's like, I never want to put myself above somebody. Like, to me, the best way to lead is by, you know, humbling yourself in a little bit of a way. I think people will trust you more that way. And so I think, you know, this idea that you have to be this big vaunted figure to be a chef who's, you know, yelling and all that, and that is certainly played up by certain people in the food media. You know, I think it's as much as you can kind of make things more casual and people will be more comfortable opening up to you and, you know, giving you valid criticism. I think that's always a good thing.
Yeah, Josh, if you can take shots at me on the microphone, you can take a shot at Gordon Ramsay. You can say,
who? What?
Who's that?
Ooh, the deepest shot.
Thank you so much. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a good app.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That was really great.
Thank you. Thanks so much. This was fun.
Yes. And now Mark and John, who argued Burger King versus McDonald's in an iconic episode, get into this discussion.
Unbelievable. Real quick, as comedians, food is such, it seems to be just like such an easy topic for every comedian. Is there anything like that, any sort of like food comedy that you think has just been so overdone at this point or?
Huh. Well, like, you know, maybe like making like dumb jokes about hipsters and their kombucha and their like cold brews. You know, I'm like, yeah, this is stuff we all like now. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't exclusive to people in Silver Lake anymore. Like, we all like that stuff.
I was going to say like that might hit in the middle of the country right now. Right.
Probably.
Just because they're like, oh, kombucha, that's a brand
but
new
they're going to be, they probably drink it now more than anyone.
You think?
Maybe not more than anyone.
More than anyone?
But
you think
I'm sure it's there.
People in Tennessee and Kentucky are just gallons of kombucha every day. It's replaced sweet tea. There's one. Kombucha versus sweet tea. I mean.
Ooh. One is mildly alcoholic. Yeah. Have you been? This has happened to me. I've fallen in love again. I've rekindled my relationship with the quesadilla during quarantine. Like, what have you been cooking that, like, maybe you weren't really, you know, messing with pre-pandemic, but now it's like, oh, yeah, I eat this.
I went
every
through day. A big phase of making my boyfriend's vegan, but I'm not. But I was making veggie chilies.
Oh, nice.
And, like, I tried, like, three or four different recipes. Then you learn, like, oh, these are all the same. They're just all, like, they all have cumin, and it's all the same thing. They're just, like, they're just doing different vegetables every time. Like, I was like, oh, chilies are all the same. Anyone can make a chili. It's so easy. So I thought chilies are overrated.
Yeah, what's the difference between
what's the difference between this kale chili and this squash chili?
Yeah,
it's kale and squash.
But what comes down to a chili's chili, I think. I don't know anything.
Well, we have had an epic debate on Food Court, with which if you're a true Texans will argue that chili is basically just like it's just meat.
I grow to like it without the meat.
No beans.
I don't need. I don't miss when there's no meat in there because it's like packed full of beans and everything. Like,
ooh, see, like a true Texan is going to say there's no beans in chili.
Well, I live in California.
This is true. John, what about you? What have you learned as an eater during quarantine?
My husband, he's really gone. It's a real lentil palooza at our place lately. He's really discovered the lentil and all the wonderful ways you can reinvent it or use it in different dishes. So that's good. He also just got, he's also just been buying a ton of cookbooks. Do you know that cookbook? I think it's called Cravings. He made a chicken and dumplings that was incredible. Easily like one of the best things I've had in quarantine. So good.
Unbelievable. Gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Let's hear from Naisha and Catherine, who argued about Girl Scout cookies.
Naisha, what are some food trends that you just are totally over? You're just like, because I know you have some strong opinions.
Yes. Food trends that I am over. You don't do smoothie bowls, right?
No.
Okay, cool.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine, though. You like, I did this once with John and Vinny, and they were like fried chicken sandwiches.
By the way, let's go. I got another 45 minutes. Let's go dirty.
I love a good smoothie, but I prefer mine in a glass, which I imagine.
Glass.
Right? Respect that.
I don't understand a spoon in a smoothie.
It baffles my brain cells. Yeah. Why would you put smoothie in a bowl? I don't understand.
Little known fact, even when I make nice cream, I eat it with a straw.
Right. Well, can't you just make it a little thicker and then it's like an acai bowl? You have no problem with acai bowl.
I have no problem. There's texture, you know?
It. Yeah. But I mean, as long as the acai is more like sorbet-like.
Totally.
You're fine with it.
Totally.
It's more just like
sorbet-like.
A soup of
smoothie. Exactly. It's a vichyssoise, a sweet vichyssoise smoothie bowl. Not
there
down.
I like that how you also made it very like towards Catherine. You're like, hey, before I say this, you're so nice too. Like, I might be offending you.
I'm sorry. Is this going to make you mad?
Although, how do you do those live segments when like it takes 2 minutes to make a smoothie? That's when I told them, I was like, I don't know if I have enough content. I made cookies once.
I've only done a smoothie once.
Okay,
but
fair enough.
I can talk about every ingredient like till I, like they're like, it's an hour's up. Let's go.
Back to you, Naisha. I don't know. Since you know, you're the restaurateur here. What are the best and worst things about the food scene in LA? This is for both of you.
Ooh. I wanted to ask you so many questions about smoothies, but
you can.
No, I'll be done with that. Are you like? Do you put lion's mane? Are you in? Yes.
I mean, any ashwagandha,
right?
Reishi,
all about it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But you have to be an adopter. People are like,
yeah, totally.
So baby steps. Totally.
Yeah, just to be clear, only Gwyneth Paltrow knows what you're talking about. Gwyneth, I don't know if you're listening right now, but reishi, ashwagandha.
This is the Richard Blaze Goop podcast.
Right. I did an event for Goop and I opened with that. I was like, I'm only using reishi and ashwagandha and like a couple of other ingredients that I forget right now. And they thought it was like,
hilarious.
I killed. They were funny.
Oh my God. Best and worst things of Los Angeles. Amazing question. Thank you for asking. I'm very passionate about it as I am a third generation Angeleno.
Amazing. Mm.
So, sort of the influx of a lot of big name chefs, quote unquote, coming into LA it's not discerning. I think, you know, we're definitely adding this sort of beautiful melange and potpourri to the terroir of Los Angeles. There's no doubt about that. But the reality is Los Angeles has a very particular soul, and it takes, I like to call it intergenerational legacy. To really carry that out, it's the intangibles, it's the love and the recipes that really connect us. And it's important to keep that alive, especially in a day, you know, when sort of like Jonathan Gold is not with us anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a lot more minds coming into the pot of life, so to speak. So it's important to understand the dialogue and sort of the agenda of us as individuals and also as a whole, as a life team. So, yeah, I mean, good and bad things. I think it's Los Angeles is a very spread out sort of community. It's sort of difficult to try to generate these pockets of communities.
They're mainly because of traffic.
100%.
Break it down to its most basic element.
100%. I read a meme the other day that was like, it takes an hour to get to from Los Angeles to Los Angeles, like anywhere in Los Angeles, it's going to take you an hour.
I drive up from San Diego like multiple times a week. And the only issue I have is the last 10 miles of my life.
I believe it. Yeah. So it's interesting to see these neighborhoods and pockets come to life within themselves. Downtown Los Angeles, you know, the Arts District area, West Adams, Jefferson, Baldwin Hill, all these little smaller communities of restaurants, which drive the economy of a neighborhood.
So follow that up. What's a community or a neighborhood that you're like really stoked about right now?
So stoked about West Adams, Jefferson area. I like, adore. It's amazing. Yeah. My parents grew up in Inglewood and it's like, it's just sort of adjacent, but it just is this working class, quintessential, lovely heart of LA, you know?
Gorgeous homes. Great communities. Super supportive of each other.
100%. A lot of my friends are in that neighborhood, raising families in this neighborhood. And it's just, I really love it. Really love it.
Yeah. Catherine, what about you? Favorite or something you're over, something about the food scene here in LA you like or you don't?
I like that right now we're sitting on my church. I mean, we're sitting right above the farmer's market that's on Sundays here. So for me, like what's happening in Los Angeles that I don't think is happening anywhere else. And what we're so lucky is where we are. But like every restaurant, there's restaurants I eat in right now. There's a restaurant called All Time. And I eat and I'm like Harry's Berries, Weiser Farms, Underwood Family Farms. Like I can taste the flavor, the complexity, what chefs in Los Angeles and California get to work with is just like on another level.
It is. And it's very, as someone who, again, came here from Atlanta and I'm a native New Yorker, like even our friends who are like really great chefs, they don't really understand that completely till they come out here. And someone told me when I moved here, like your food will totally change, and mainly because of the ingredients. And
absolutely.
And that's what happened.
It's so much like, fun right now.
I'll just drive this home. Like if like romaine lettuce. It's a boring, I'm getting goosebumps talking about this right now. And rarely do I like talk like a chef anymore. Love so this it. Is kind of fun. But like when I had my first bite of romaine lettuce in Southern California, it blew me away. I had never tasted romaine lettuce like that. And this was at like a fast casual taco place.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the difference. There.
No, that's the level. Yeah.
And without sounding like an elitist Californian,
Yeah, it's not though. Like I made someone a salad yesterday. I was like, can I make you a salad? She's like, sure. And then she was eating it. She's like, you put little gems and this crazy like Chinese celery. And it was radish blossoms. Like I'd gotten the radishes with the blossoms and chopped off the top. Like it's become so much more like top to bottom. Like you use everything and you just the flavor. It's like
Seed to stock, right? I don't know who coined that. It might've been Jeremy Fox. I don't know. Someone like that. I like this whole seed to stock thing. But it's a special place for sure. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll do it again. Round two. Donuts. I don't know. It'll be something. Listen, everyone. What do you think? I know that you're going to let me hear about it on social media. Food Court is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Richard Blaze. My producer is Crystal Bamahi. Food Court was created by our executive producer, Christopher Hasiotis. The rest of my Food Court clerks are Gabrielle Collins, David Wasserman, and Jasmine Blaze. The theme song is by Jason Naismith. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite food shows. And until next week, Food Court is adjourned. Food Court with Richard
Blaze. This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.